561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board. Have you participate. Join in the dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about a subject today, an issue today, that I believe has weighty impact and results if we can grasp what I'm trying to say. The question is, and I like issue-oriented question form. I don't know, perhaps you've already noticed that down through the years. The question today, why should Christians know or study biblical prophecy? Why should Christians study, understand, or know biblical prophecy? Why is it needful, necessary? Why should we do so? When we look at what is happening in the world today, is it all happenstance? As we see what is happening with North Korea, Ukraine, China, the Middle East, in particular with Israel, is it all simply happenstance? Or is God in control? Has God said anything about that in His Word? Has God already warned us, told us, informed us of what's taking place and what He's going to do? I believe across the world today, ladies and gentlemen, we are all aware that there appears to be a rush, almost a silent amazement, as I would call it, a sense of fear with some that seems to grip so many people in society today. When you look at what is happening in the Middle East, it's causing many, many, many Christians to ask the question, is this biblical prophecy? Now, there are a number of preachers today that simply refuse to preach on biblical prophetic text. In fact, I read behind one just this morning that said that if he preached prophecy, it would divide the church because there's so many different understandings of biblical prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the major reasons we need to study the biblical prophecy is so that we can recognize false biblical prophetic text as it is presented by so many. There are some today that teach replacement theology. That is, that Israel has been replaced by the church. That based on replacement theology, dominion theology, that replacement theology simply says that Israel no longer should be concerned, or we should not be concerned about Israel, because the church is spiritual Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. I don't know how I could say it any more poignantly. It's not true. God has always dealt with Israel. God shall always deal with Israel. God is dealing with the church and shall continue to deal with the church. You find in the Old Testament, God's elect is Israel. You find in the New Testament, God's elect is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the Christian. So we need to understand biblical prophecy. And as we understand biblical prophecy, it calms the fears, directs the heart, challenges the commitment, encourages us to be a witness, and sharing the good news with others. So that's what we're talking about today. Right after the brief monologue, we will open the telephone lines and allow you to give us a call. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. It's the Bible. You know, perhaps you recall Vacation Bible School. You'd sing the song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I can recall those days that we had the privilege of doing that. In fact, I can recall the days, and this might tell you my age. I'm still less than 100. But I recall the days when in public school, classrooms, we'd sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. We would have scripture reading. We would have prayer. We would have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. But those are supposed to be old, historic, rudimentary, elemental things that we don't do anymore. Maybe that's the reason we have so many problems with the prisons being filled today. But Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And may I challenge us to never forget the fact that the truth of the Lord, other truths, half-truths, partial truths, nuances of truth will come and go. But the truth of the Word of God endures, stays, sustains forever. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we're finding that to be factually true today. Even though 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say, and I quote, each person determines his or her own version of truth. For example, in that survey it says, from ages 30 to 40, 46% believe that each person can pick their own truth. 41 to 55-year age group, 35%. 56-year-old to 65 years old, only 31%. And over 65, 32%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding a diminishing number of those that believe in absolute truth. It's diminishing in society today. I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. And I pray that you are grasping that mindset, that you're willing to stand for truth even if you have to stand alone, that you're willing to stand for truth even if you have to do so and defend the truth even to death. I believe we're in an era today that it calls for us as Christians to stand for the truth and defend it, regardless of what the world says. In fact, I tell people from the pulpit, as I preach the word, I'm going to preach what God's word says. If you don't like it, if you get bothered by it, tell God, don't tell me. We need to recognize that truth endures forever, the truth of God's word. We need to seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the full brand of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. They carry the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. There's a beautiful benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole, the United States flag, I call it Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you can find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait to see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here on the set today with Dr. Davis. Dr. Davis and I have a wonderful time at least once a week to come to you and talk about biblical theological truths, talk with you about what's important, what we should focus on, how we should respond. So, Dr. Davis, thank you so much for being here today. I'm looking forward to what God's going to say as we speak to our listeners today, especially about the subject, why should Christians study or know biblical prophecy? Thank you for being here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. I want to say good morning to my bride of almost 38 years. Amen. On today. Thank you so much. I love you. Amen. For putting up with me every moment, every second of the day. Amen. I realize it takes patience. Amen. To go through. Amen. But we made a promise. We made a vow to God that we would go through this thing together. None of us have never been this way before.
That's right.
Dr. Youngblood. We've not lived in this life before. In other words. That's what I'm speaking to right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that some of the Buddhists or the Hindus might believe in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. You know, they have those type of teachings. But the Bible tells us that God created us and our days shall be 70 and 10. Mm-hmm. And if by reason of health, we may have more. Mm-hmm. So I'm still less than 100. I hadn't reached the 70 and 10 yet. Amen. I got a little bit more to go.
Amen.
But I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share with the people of God each and every day of my life. I've made that my mission.
Amen.
To make sure that everywhere I go, to let you know that I don't care how good you are. I don't care what your social status is. I don't care what your standing in society is.
Right.
You still need a savior.
Amen.
Now, we are here today talking about prophecy, and mm-hmm. I thank God for it. Mm-hmm. Because as you said, Dr. Youngblood, that's created a void in the body of Christ. Now, some of this has happened, and I would say willingly, because some people don't read and study Scripture. Mm-hmm. But the biggest part, the burden, the bulk of this, I want to put down on the shoulders of the pastors who fail to teach it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's vital. It's very important when we talk about prophecy or eschatology or the subject on the last things mm-hmm. that's going to happen. The words on the pages of Scripture leap out at us every day.
Yes.
Because as we look at the news, we can see Scripture being fulfilled.
Yes.
So there's no reason for us as believers on today to sit back and be ignorant of the Word of God. Now, mm-hmm. here's what I want to put in here before we get ready to go. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses, let's see where I want to go. Verse number 9. Well, let's back up to 8. This is what Peter said. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now mm-hmm. listen, we're not saying ignorant in the sense of trying to degrade anyone.
That's right.
If you are unlearned, then you are ignorant.
Just means unlearned
in that
initial
area.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I mean, there's still no reason to be unlearned when you have the Word of God.
Amen.
So ignorance happens because of willfulness, like I say, willfully not reading the Word or not sitting under the correct biblical teaching.
Amen.
So now, Peter addressed that. He said, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Mm-hmm. That's fair warning to us.
It's a pretty
to let us know.
Pretty heavy warning, isn't it?
Amen. That this old world is not going to last forever.
That's right.
You don't have forever and a day to make up your mind. Mm-hmm. You need to make up your mind right now while you have a chance.
Absolutely.
As we give the invitation each and every Sunday or every time the doors are open at our church
Amen.
To all believers.
That's right.
And I learned this from Dr. Phelps. Love you this morning, Dr. Phelps. Love you on today. But listen, Dr. Phelps said in class one year when he was teaching, He said, every time the altar call is made, we need to respond.
Mm-hmm.
That goes for believers as well as unbelievers.
Right.
So getting back to what I started to say about us as active ministers in the church, we invite, we give the invitation to people every time to come to Jesus now while you have a chance.
Amen.
You still have the blood running warm in your veins. So while the blood is still running warm, the Bible says, come to Jesus while you have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time is going to come when it's going to be said too late.
Right.
So listen, don't let that be said about your life today.
Amen.
That it's too late.
Amen.
Come to him while you have a chance.
Absolutely.
And we're here today to share with you from the pages of scripture the reason why.
That's right.
Because prophecy confirms that one day time is going to wind up.
Time will be no more.
Absolutely. And it's going to be all over. And when you get to Revelation 22, even we look at creation. Creation is waiting for the redemption of itself because we are all here under the curse.
That's right.
But the plan of God is to redeem all things back to himself and give us heaven on earth the way that he determined for it to be from the day that he created man and put him in the Garden of Eden.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject. Why should Christians study or know biblical prophecy? I'm looking at an article. It says, is the attack against Israel setting up Bible prophecy? You see, those are questions that people ask. People will ask, how does North Korea fit into the plan of God? How does Israel fit into the plan of God? What is taking place with Germany and France and Russia and Syria and Turkey and Iran? What's taking place? What is happening on the front page news each and every day? This article continues. It says, Christian evangelist Greg Laurie is warning that the violent events that are now developing were already predicted in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we call that biblical prophecy. And people should be paying attention, close attention to what's said. You're seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled in your lifetime, in real time, before your very eyes, he said. Lowry noted the last time Israel officially was at war was in 1973 with Egypt, Syria, and other attackers, and they lost. But this was a different kind of war, he goes on to say. Then he talks about Hamas and how it relates to the enemy attacking Israel. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this, and then we'll open our lines for our callers. There seems to be a silence, Dr. Davis, about biblical prophecy. Could it be that the anxiousness that we see in society today is part and parcel of the hearts wondering where we're going, what is happening, is it too late, can we do anything about it? There's some that are fearful, some that pay no attention whatsoever. And the future of God's word, the future that we see God tells us in his word, is coming about just as he said. Biblical prophecy is avoided by most denominations today. I was amazed in my research on the subject and the consideration about biblical prophecy and what others are saying. Most denominations avoid it. Some say that prophecy is not relevant today for Christian living. Others say that the Bible book is simply something that you cannot count on as being relevant to today. Others say that the book is like the book in Revelation is just symbolic and filled with myths and has no value to believers. And others claim that the Christian, it's an impossibility for the Christian to understand biblical prophecy and so therefore just leave it alone. You can't understand it, so just leave it alone. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. I'll touch on this. We'll go back to it later. A huge article. Why do most churches not talk about end times? Subtext says, few churches preach on the end times, but many churchgoers have questions about it, end quote. We'll look at that article in just a moment. And I find it fascinating and yet sad that the Word of God, if you take the totality of the Word of God, Dr. Davis, over one quarter of it, over one fourth of it, is about biblical prophecy, of God's telling us what he's going to do, what has been done. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote. When it comes to the prophetic text of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, some 330 prophetic verses talked about the coming of Christ. All of them were fulfilled just as God's word said it would be fulfilled.
Amen. Amen.
So if he did that, I can count on everything else that he says, prophetically speaking, that he's going to do it just like he said he was.
Well, if you got things right with God in your life, mm-hmm. it should bring you joy.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out, Dr. Youngblood, in my years in Christ, going on 39 years now, thank God, and in the ministry, that prophecy also generates fear.
That's right.
And that fear comes as a result of people not having things right in their life.
Not having it right.
So listen, this is why we're trying to make sure you understand. God didn't design it for that, but then if it is generating fear, make sure it's a healthy fear, which is a reverence of God.
Oh, A-W-E-R, reverence for
Amen.
God.
Amen, yes. Amen. A reverence of God
mm-hmm.
for his word concerning the thing that he has promised to you that will happen. Because prophecy is actually, when we look at it in reality, it's a promise by God to us that whatever he said in his word is going to happen.
Just
but we have to realize that it's going to work out for our good, because the end result is that in the end we will win.
Amen. As I told them on the broadcast yesterday, I believe it was, I've read the last chapter of the book. I know we win in the end.
Amen. Amen.
I know what happens based on the word of God. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. I hope you're well.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. You're awesome. And Dr. Davis, let me tell you something, man. Love you, man. Love you.
I love you so much, too, my brother Kenneth. Love you.
Okay. I might be straying away a little bit, but it's like everybody, I'm not saying that Trump is, he's not, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I know God put him in there for a reason. And he's going to put him back in there for a reason. And I think if we refuse to do what's supposed to be happening, because we have so many terrorists over here now with our crazy dude, well, not him, his puppet masters, putting them in here, if he wins, They're gonna start bombing or whatever they're gonna do. They're gonna make sure that America falls. Cause I don't see America in prophecy anywhere.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. Let me touch on it, top a few loose ends that's there. God is in control, God is sovereign. All that we see taking place in the political realm, all that we see taking place militarily, all that we see happening economically, all that we see taking place in the, what view, our view is the demise of America, does not take God by surprise. God does not sit back on a Monday morning and say, wow, you know, those dudes down on earth really surprised me with what they're doing. That's not the way God operates. God is sovereign, and God has sovereign foreknowledge, and before the world began, God set everything in place, and God's in control of all that happens. He created it all, and he says, the scripture says in Colossians 1, 16, 17, and 18, that it all is consisting by him, and it all exists by him. He is the divine superglue that holds it all together. So with that being said, as we see what Sleepy Joe's doing, as we see what the socialist Marxist media is doing, as we watch what is happening with the Communist Network News and the Communist Party that calls themselves Democrats today, it doesn't take God by surprise. But listen very carefully. Prophetically speaking, God is using these players to place them on the set, the chessboard, to carry out his ultimate purpose. Yes, man has volitional choice, but God is sovereign. the sovereignty of God and the free will of man operate and coexist together, not one canceling the other, but man's making decisions. God's using that to carry out his perfect will for what God wants to accomplish. And with that, and you touched on it, I believe God is progressively, even now, judging America because America's turned our backs on God, because America has already turned our backs on Israel. And God has promised to bless any people, any nation that blesses Israel. And may I say, to curse any nation or people that curses Israel. And we're watching that take place today across America. So it should behoove us, Kenneth, to study the Scripture, to see what the Scripture says. The Scripture is very, very clear. It says that we're not to be ignorant. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant about those that sleep. And the Apostle Paul then, in that text, talks about the rapture of the church. But God uses the term ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And so my challenge to each listener today, Kenneth, is not to be ignorant of what the Word of God says in relationship to the prophetic text. I'm willing to trust God, to believe God, that God said it, that settles it, it'll happen just as he said. And it should be used in every Christian life to give us hope, to give us encouragement, give strength, to hold on to and understand that God's sovereign, God's in control. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. Okay. Thank you for...
Can I ask one more question? Can I ask
yes,
one
sir.
More question? Sleepy Joe is in the basement or whatever. But Pamela Harris said, oh, no, we're going to win this election. I mean, she was, like, positive on this. So you think it might be stolen again?
Absolutely, no question about it. Whether it ultimately is stolen or not, it's going to be very, very close. I believe Donald J. Trump would win today with a landslide by millions of votes over and above what Biden would get. But whether or not that'll be the end result as we see it, only God knows. Because right now, you can count on it. You can, as old cliche goes, bet your boots on it, that the Democratic Party and all of their acolytes across the nation, they've already set in place that which they plan to carry out in order to steal this election. God help us if they're successful in that. So we need to pray that God will give us victory, that God will intervene and destroy the hands of the enemy and prevent that theft from taking place. Because if we lose this presidential election, you can count it, put it in your put it on your marker and understand it. This will be the last election in the United States of America if we lose this election to the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. Kenneth, thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Looking forward to what God's going to do. Thank you so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a question. Why should Christians study or know biblical prophecy? Going back to the headlines, why do most churches not talk about the end times? Says it indeed is amazing how few churches teach or preach on the end times. Yet many churchgoers and unchurched people ask questions about it, especially now as we see the chaos, the confusion, the frightening events taking place increasingly around our world. According to the write-ups on the question of why most churches don't talk about the end times, there are diversified reasons given. Some churches don't like to take the Bible literally, particularly on the topics of prophecy and end times. Some feel the book of Revelation is mere allegory and therefore not a subject to believe. Others may have ministries who, like the training and education in the area, do not want to expend their time to study to know it. Many have been turned off by the date setters and sensationalists, etc., etc. So there are a lot of reasons or excuses that's given to not study the prophetic text. Dr. Davis and I are going to talk about that further. We're going to talk about it right after the news. We're going to get into the, as I call it, the meat of the subject and invite you to participate. Don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville.